Bereishis, Daf Shin Ayin Ches. There are a number of things that, I mean, everything about Parshas Bereishis is very, you know, very cosmic, very hidden. Everything about it. I mean, that's part of the reason why Ramban explains, you know, Rashi has, why did we begin Parshas Bereishis? Why did we start with Parshas, you know, Achodesh Zevachem, in both beginning of the creation of the Jewish people, mitzvahs, etc. Anyway, the Ramban, he interprets that same medrash differently than Rashi. He interprets it as because there's so many things that are such secrets in Parshas Bereishis, so many things that are hidden, that it's not for the regular person to understand. It's very difficult. So therefore, he has to come on to the reason that unless you believe that the Creator created the world, and not that the world always existed, the way the early Greek philosophers believed that the world was what they believed in what was called kadmus olam, that the world always existed ki'ilu as a shadow of God. If a person doesn't believe that the world is a creation, so Ramban says that person has no chelik in Torah's Moshe. He has no portion in the Torah, because the fundamental, right? The fundamental of all fundamentals is a creator, and a lot of things that are built into that. First of all, the fact that there is a creator tells us that there's only one way to be. There is the way of the creator. If God forbid the world always existed as a shadow, right, of God, so to speak, Chalila. So then there's no reason really to do what he requests of you, other than the fact that it's a matter of a power struggle, right? I have as much reality as he has. It's just that he's the biggest guy in the block. I don't want to mess with him because he's going to splat me, right? Don't mess with Fred. Fred make you dead. So you have no real choice in the matter, just because of there's such a discrepancy between our ability and his ability. But that's not what creation is about. It's not that creation is a gift. The Creator created. It's a gift. That's why it's possible to have avas Hashem, connection to Hashem. In the world of the idolaters, there's no such thing. There's no love. There's no what it calls. There's no. It's all just manipulation. And we've discussed this before. And it's such a fundamental idea that the Medrash puts so clearly in Parshas Vayetze and in Parshas Mikates, when it contrasts the dreams of Yaakov and the dream of Paro. In Yaakov's dream, Hashem is nitzav alav. Hashem stands above him. And in Paro's dream, Paro is omed aliyor. He stands above the Nile. The Nile is his deity, yet he stands above it. Because, as it were, subliminally, really, what he wants to do is he wants to be in control. The idolater wants to be in control. He's not interested in a relationship. He's interested in getting what he wants. Now, the only thing is, since the deity that he believes in, he believes to have more power than he has available to him, so therefore he has to placate, he has to, you know, as we call it, appease, he has to, you know, bribe, he has to give this power, whatever it asks for, in order so that in the end of the day, it will give him what he wants. So not to believe in creation is the total distortion of reality. In addition, we're just going over some things before we try to talk about some new ideas. There's the fundamental idea of Harashi describes for us in the beginning of Parshas Bereishis. He says Bereishis Bara Elokim, says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. V'midas Hadin, Elokim is Din. And then later on it says Hashem Elokim. In the narration of creation, it switches all of a sudden, the name goes from Elokim to Hashem Elokim. So Rashi says over there, all of the Machshav Levavos Olam Midas Hadin, none of this is on the page, this is just the prologue. All of Machshav Levavos Olam Midas Hadin, the Machshava came up, is the word to create the world, B'midas Hadin. in a world of justice, of din, of exactitude, right? Everything is what it's supposed to be, and everything gets what it's supposed to have, nothing more, nothing less, etc. Rosh any holy sky, Hashem saw that it couldn't exist, it couldn't last. V'shiti b'mah midas harachamim, and he joined the midas adin together with midas harachamim, and that's the shame yud kei vav kei is rachamim. Rachamim is love, affection, right, caring, etc. Rachmana is the name of Hashem. It's the name of the Torah. It means love. The way we are used to from grade school is the thinking of it is right. Hashem makes the world, and then he says, "Ah, no, this is not going to work. Well, I have to fix it." And there he adds Rachamim afterwards, and that of course is like we said it before, many times before. That's ridiculous, right? That's ridiculous. Hashem doesn't make any mistakes. The idea of all of the machshava, the idea is, in other words, there is, you know, the machshava, the deepest part of a person are his thoughts. There is, you know, what a person can express outwardly. The minute you express it, you don't have the full, as it were, the full, you can't communicate the full, impact of the idea itself. You can do as much as you possibly can, but you can never completely convey the idea. The machshav over here is the concept that Rashi's telling us is that the deepest rotzon of Hashem is that we should merit it, the din, we should deserve it, because that's the greatest gift that he can give us, is that we can actually deserve something. But in order to make that viable, right, in a world which is physical, which is deficient, which we're going to address shortly, you need rachamim, right? In other words, it's a catch-22. It's two sides of the same coin. Man is created in order to grow. That means he has to be. He's created, right? He's created deficient, because if you're already perfect, there's no place to grow. He's created deficient. In order to grow, in order to create himself, in order to give birth to himself. Like, we're going to actually refer to a couple of things in Parshas Noach also, since next week there won't be a shir, because I won't be here. But what do you call it? But that's what we learned from Noach. Elotomos Noach. Noach, ish tadik, tamim, ayavatorosav, et lakim is halach Noach. Says Rashi there, when Ela told us Noach, Noach ish tzadik tamim haya b'dorosav. What do you mean? These are the generations, these are the progeny, these are the offspring of Noach. Toldos. These are toldos. Toldos Hashem Cham V'Yafes. It doesn't say that. It says, ish tzadik tamim haya b'dorosav. He was a righteous person. He was a perfected person in his generation. So it was really cool. It said, what do you mean? Says Rashi, that's to teach you that the Iker, the main produce, the main progeny, the main offspring of a person, his good deeds, his mitzvahs, because in that way he gives birth to himself, he transforms himself. So the catch 22 is if on the one hand the whole world is to enable man to perfect himself, right, that he should create himself, that he should, as it were, make himself worthy, that he should deserve and not just receive a freebie, if that's the whole purpose of the world, then by definition the world has got to be created deficient. Because otherwise, where do you go? There's nowhere to go. If you're perfected, right? If you're perfected, you have nowhere to go. There's nowhere to grow. In that light, so let's examine a couple of things here. I don't think we talked about so much before.
Yeah, we did. 2015.
What?
You'd all supposed to call Eric Allen.
Thank you.
I just.
You just said, thought you would say that.
Yeah, well, maybe we discussed it before. Well, you said okay. You didn't, but I don't want to correct you.
I stand. He's probably being a special Mishaberach on Simchas Torah to have the opportunity to do this.
No, I just had to throw that in. I don't know what you're saying here. It's not correct.
Okay. Thank you. I run the Dangerfield. You don't even know. Okay. Fine. So let's take a look. What does it say? So if you don't really keep tacher, it's desha, esev mazria zera, eitz priyoset prilim yino, asher zaro bo, ala oretz vayichain. So Kosh Baruch Hu said, you know, that the earth should be covered with green, etc., all the vegetation. But totse oretz desha, esev mazria zera, limineu, ve'eitz oset pri, asher zaro bo, limineu, vayar lokim ki tov. So the trees the trees are producing, instead of in the first pasuk it says eitz pri, right, a tree of fruit, ose pri lemino, that produces fruit of its kind, and that's in the statement, that's in the directive of the Borei Olam in pasuk Yud Aleph. In pasuk Yud Beis it says that the tree, the eitz ose pri, asher zaro bolimino. It doesn't say eitz pri, ose pri lemino. It says the eitz ose pri. Eitz ose pri. Doesn't call it eitz pri. Doesn't call it an eitz within which the pri, the fruit, is recognizable. So on that Rashi says eitz pri. She heitam ha eitz kitam ha pri. Right? That the taste of the eitz should be like the taste of the fruit. That was the statement of the Rabbon Shalom. V'hi lo asa sakein, and the aretz didn't do that. V'atotzi aretz. Instead, what happened was that the aretz, as it were, it brought both the vegetation and the eitz osepri, and it brought forth trees that produced fruit, but not that the fruit itself was recognizable within the tree itself, because the tree didn't taste like the fruit. There was no taste of fruit in the tree. So therefore, when Adam sinned, the Aretz was also cursed along with him. Right? So says the Gurari. Says the Maral. What does it mean there? The land perform. Didn't do what it was commanded to do. Eina perush. You see that paragraph there? Eina perusha adoma avra b'meizid al tzivu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't mean that the land rebelled. Right? This is something that's right? Land doesn't rebel. Land doesn't have Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. The earth. She'ein Yetzer Hara ba she'tehei overes al tzivu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't have Yetzer Hara that it could go against the decree of the Borei Olam. Aval ki ha'aretz hazot Shinui Yeshla. The Oretz is worm has Shinui associated. Inconsistency, change. It's not consistent. Shehi Bilvad Nechsheves Mina Tachtonim. Because the earth is from the lower part of creation. Whereas the upper part of creation, everything is clear, everything is consistent. Everything is perfected in its you know, as much as a creation can be in its performance. But the aretz, the nature of the aretz is that what we call it, it's subject to change, inconsistency. Once again, how does that prove anything? Aretz nasan livnei adam. In other words, since, like we talked about before, man was created to perfect himself, and that's why we call that's why he was brought into the earth, that he should deserve something. Bedin, nachon. So that means he has to be imperfect. He has to be incomplete. Otherwise, there's nothing to perfect. There's nothing to complete. Since the earth is given to man, va'aretz nasan livnei adam. So the aretz itself has to be, as it were, parallel to the man. It has to be, as it were, built in of the same system. Just like the system of man is imperfect, the earth itself has got to be having perfection in it. That's part of its design, in order that it should be perfected. It's the atmosphere, it's the ecosystem, it's the environment for man. It therefore is subject to change. It's subject to imperfection.
Yeah, right. You said man has the Yitzhara and the earth doesn't.
Did I contradict that? I didn't.
Yeah, if the earth doesn't have an Yitzhara, maybe it is perfect.
Something can be imperfect without having a Yitzhara, right? You got a jagged piece of glass sitting out over there, right? There's deficiencies in that, right? It's not like the Yitzhara. It's by definition, it's deficient. It still has pain. It can cause a wound. It's not there for a positive purpose per se. But it's not that he chose to be that way. It is. Yoru v'zeh kishino yesh bein ha'aretz v'vin ha'shamayim. There's a difference between the heavens and the earth. Yashamayim hei min ha'elyonim v'aretz min ha'taktonim. U'bavur chesrona hi b'chaseres min ha'shleimus tovim. Because it's part of this ecosystem, this lower ecosystem, so therefore it's always it's missing, it's deficient. Okay? You need something?
Okay.
Oh, that's next door. That's normal. It's okay. Okay, no, I wasn't worried about that. Okay. Ein adam tzadik v'aretz asher yaaseh tov v'lo yechta. That's what the pasuk says in Kehelis. Ein adam tzadik. There is no person, a tzadik, who lives upon the earth, asher yaaseh tov v'lo yechta, that he can do tov without being chote. Chet, we'll see as we advance on this discussion over here, is not just to do something wrong. Lachti et hamatara. When you shoot an arrow and you miss the mark, it's called lachti et hamatara. You go off the path. You are deficient, right? In other words, efficiency would mean you hit a bullseye. When you miss, that's called lachti et hamatara. So chet doesn't necessarily mean always that a person does a sin. It's true, the manifestation of deficiency in man is what we call sin. But the concept of chet, it can exist even when there's no sin. Because the concept of chet means to be off mark. Right? To be deficient. Perush ki yefshir lios ha'adam tzadik ba'aretz. A person can't be a tzadik on the earth. Asher yaaseh tamira tova shleimus ba'aretz. If the whole atmosphere, if the whole air that we breathe, as it were, I'm not talking about smog, right? If the whole environment is one which is one of imperfection, of deficiency, so it's not possible for a person always to be perfectly efficient, perfectly on mark, because his entire environment is always dragging down. That's what the pasuk means. Ain't adam tzadik ba'aretz. A person can't be a tzadik in the aretz. V'lo yechta, asher yaaseh tov v'lo yechta. They should always do good and never go off the mark. It doesn't work. It doesn't work because that's not the environment that he's living in. That doesn't mean he can go choose and do sin, but there's always going to be some deficiency. Bavur chesaron shelo l'chay l'chach kasher gozer maimar kodosh eitz pri osef pri. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed that it should be a tree of flavoring. You can taste the fruit already in the tree. In other words, what we have over here is, he said already the tree doesn't have a Yetzahara. So I understand, if God commands that it should be this way, right, and the earth doesn't do it, so didn't the earth choose? No. In other words, what we have over here is the paradox that HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes it in the way it's perfectly going to be. It's perfectly going to be that the tree will taste like the fruit, right? But right now, as it enters into the world of creation, as the world of creation which is necessary to be an imperfect world in order to be perfected by man, so therefore it starts off in imperfection. The tree will not have the same taste as the fruit.
Only because Adam sinned.
This is before Adam sinned.
Even before Adam sinned, the earth.
Even before Adam sinned, because again, even when Adam was brought into the world, he was, for whatever he was meant to do, he was also going to perfect the world. The world had potential for deficiency. There was no actual deficiency.
If it had potential, then for deficiency, that meant at the time it was perfect.
No, it had potential for deficiency.
That means it was perfect.
No. That means it's imperfect. Something which is perfect has no potential for deficiency. Something which is perfect is perfect. Right? It has the potential for deficiency. There was no actual deficiency in the world yet. Right? But there was potential for deficiency.
So if it doesn't have deficiency, it's not perfect?
Say again?
If it doesn't have deficiency, then it's not perfect?
If it has deficiency,
then it's not perfect.
It's not perfect. Right.
If it doesn't have deficiency.
If it doesn't have deficiency, then there's no purpose in creating it. Because if the whole idea is that man is going to give birth to himself, but if there's no struggle, if everything's perfect, so he's not perfecting anything.
But there would have been a perfect world if Adam didn't sin.
It had the potential to be imperfect, right? If Adam had withstood his test, then it would have gone from potential for imperfection without actual imperfection, right, to perfection. But he didn't. And as a result, the entire world changed. Now deficiency has been actualized in the world. It's a whole different world. Adam never would have died. He would have waltzed into Shabbos singing Olam Haba instead of Me'en Olam Haba, right? Even though it fits a little bit better to the tune.
If he had
Me'en Olam Haba,
if he didn't sin, he had the choice,
right? But Kasher Chata Adam, right? And when man sinned, Volo Pchisas Cheta Asher Chata Gam Kei Mizeh. Part of his sin was just he fell prey to his environment. The environment had potential for deficiency. I.e., that's the way he was, because otherwise there was no purpose for it being created. But he fell prey to what he called to the potential for deficiency, rather than overcoming that. Vishu Nivra Min Adama, because he was made from the Adama. Adam is made from the Adama. He's built to be a, what he called to be a he's built from the very ground, which is not producing trees that taste like the fruit.
Somehow the tree is an allegory to a perfect world.
The tree is a metaphor for producing something new. It is, you have a system here. You've got a system that has the potential to produce something new, and those new things are called fruit.
Right.
Those new things are called fruit.
Right.
And man, right, comes from the earth. The earth itself, yeah, is what you call not completely perfected. It has potential for deficiency, and that's why the earth produces trees that don't taste like the fruit. And man himself comes from the earth, so man has got this inside of him. Now he can overcome that. He can overcome that. But if he doesn't, then part of the reason why he didn't was he fell prey to the system from within which he was created.
Which is what system is that?
That's the earth that doesn't produce trees that taste like fruit, right? A deficient, not a totally perfect system. A world where deficiency potentially can exist, and if he chooses to be like that, then he's actualized that deficiency.
That's not good.
Right. Lefichach nimsa chaser gamkin. Right now, the bowl, the second set of bowl there. V'dafka chet ze asasa adama. The earth, in the middle of the paragraph, this is v'dafka chet ze. This specifically is what the earth didn't do.
Right.
In other words, of all the things, why didn't we say the earth? I don't know what should produce. The earth decided instead of giving trees, it decided to produce cockroaches, right, or something like that. Through spontaneous generation.
Come in.
Through spontaneous generation. Through spontaneous generation.
Hello, Calvin. Good to see you back home. Can I put this in your fridge?
Yeah, sure.
Through spontaneous generation. Right? But it didn't do that. What did it do?
The tree?
What do you call the earth? The earth.
You got it.
V'dafka chet ze asra adama shlo heiser ui shetotzi ot yitam eitz hapri kumo pri zeki ot v'atzmo heiser mekabeles hashefa minat elyonim hashefa minat elyonim. The earth receives its bounty, it's the emanations of creation come from above, from the elyonim to the tachtonim, right, from the upper world to what he calls the lower world. The eitz elyonim nechsheves ot kumo pri hamekabel min eitz. And the earth itself is like a fruit, right? Like a fruit of the upper world. Of the upper world. Everything is clear there. Everything is clear.
Why do you say that?
What do you mean?
Why are you saying that the fruit is the resemblance of the upper world?
No, I didn't say that. I said the what do you call it, the tachtonim, right? The earth, and all those things that are subject to change, they receive their hashpa, their influence from the world of where things are clear, right?
How does the fruit?
So, and this is like the fruit. In other words, it produces, right? The hashpa, the effect, the vibes come from above, and they reveal themselves here on the earth. They reveal themselves here on the earth.
Give you an example.
Let's say even the way that the stars, yeah, Kadosh Baruch Hu sends the mazolos, yeah, that they're a conduit to the way that events take place. I use them as a conduit.
Okay.
So there it's an emanation form, and here it comes out in fruit form. The events take place.
Fruit being the result.
Right.
Yeah, like Trump.
Thank you.
Fruit is the result.
Okay.
Okay,
now that Baruch Hashem, all the kibbutzes are here, now we can continue. Okay. L'chach lo nasna koach rak lepri shu dugmasa. Aval lo nasna koach v'tam l'davar shu godol b'mala yosim min ha'aretz.
So why you say the upper spheres water the lower spheres.
That's very, very nice.
No, because then your fruit needs water in it.
That's lovely. But it's more than that. It's a tree. It's the tree. It's the tree.
Well, the tree's only
okay. Yeah. Let's stay calm. Relax. Very cool. So therefore, right? Therefore, since the earth itself is like the fruit of what's coming from above, so all the only taste, the only thing that appeared over here with taste, with tam, where you could taste the, what do you call it, the sweetness of it is only in the fruit, not in the tree. Right? Not in the trees. Not in the trees.
Yeah.
The trees remain, as it were, without taste. The fruit has taste.
I thought you said the tree itself is the fruit. It had the same taste.
That was the way it was. That's the ideal is that the tree will taste like the fruit.
So what happened? That was changed after Adam.
No, we went through this already. Called that's even before. But he called it because other. But he called it, that was that's the creation of potential for deficiency in the earth itself.
Okay, start over again. The taste of the tree. Is the potential that it doesn't have any is the potential
for deficiency.
For deficiency.
Right? I mean, there's something deficient in that. And Hashem says, what's perfect if the tree tastes like the fruit? That's why he said, let it taste like the fruit. The earth didn't produce that, not because we rebelled against Hashem. It's because at this stage, right, it's not possible for the tree to taste like the fruit. The question is, what does that mean to us? What does that mean to us?
Is there any concept that the lossy logo will be like that? So that's the
That's what we're going towards. So now, further, let's go to the next little piece over here to help us understand this a bit more. At this point now, I'm going in the derech. What do you call it? That received from Moshe Shapiro Zechus Lebracha. Next, in Parshas Noach, like we said, we're not going to be here for Noach, so we'll have a little bit of Noach also to help us with this. It says, "Vayachel Noach ish adama v'yita karim." Right? Noach. After the flood, after he exited the ark, right? What did he do? The first thing he did is he planted a vineyard. Vayesht min ayayim vayishkar vayizgal b'toch o'alo. He produced wine, he drank from the wine, he became inebriated, right? And he disrobed inside of his tent and whatever took place. In other words, he lost it. The Gurayeh says, it's Rashi in this also, but we'll let's go straight to the Gurayeh. Once again, the Maral. Yearly Shakosu Merames Ika Purunas Deba Al Yedei Ayayin. the Torah is pointing out to us the two calamities that can take place, yeah, as a result of wine. Ha'echad hu hagnai habola adam al yidei shikrus shizbaze. One is that the loftiness of man is downgraded because he becomes self-degraded when he acts like what do you call it, like a cat, right? As a result of his having drunk too much wine. Ha'chaknem rabbi yizkal b'socha alo shizbaze. Right? He was in a state of shame. Hashenihu ibud hachokma vaseichel asher yesh ba'adam. The other thing is the loss, yeah, of his wisdom and his seichel, his intellect, inside the person. Veda, and you should know. Ki haseichel hu hadibuk b'Hashem Yisbarach. The place of our connection to the Rabbon Shalom is through our seichel. Right? I don't mean you have to have a big IQ. It's what you call it. The natural world, per se, is not the point of our connection with Hashem. We experience, we produce, we live within the natural world. But the point of connection to Hashem is over here, in the world of the mind. That's where we connect to Him. We don't see Him, you know, with our flesh and blood eyes. With our Einia Seichel, we connect to Him. La'idea Shikrus Yovad Hadibu Kazeh. When a person becomes shikr, he loses that attachment. He loses that dibuk. The kasher ina adam dovuk v'Hashem, yovo pirud v'golus v'adam. When a person is not dovuk v'Hashem, it brings separation and ultimately golus v'adam. Golus. Person goes into golus. Golus means he loses his place. He loses his attachment to his roots. Maral learns this. Ki kol zman asher adam sichu alav hu neta ne'eman. As it says, ki adam eitz hasadeh. Man is like a tree. A pasuk in Sefer Dvarim. Man is like a tree. When his intellect is intact, and he can connect with his Creator, he's rooted. That's where he belongs, in connection to his Creator. When his seichel, as it were, deteriorates, when he no longer connects because he's inebriated, because he's drunk, then that's what the pasuk says, Vayiskal, the remez, Vayiskal, besoch olo. He was revealed, but the remez in Vayiskal, of his showing his nakedness, his disrobing, is that he goes into Golus. He's no longer rooted where he was. It's like the tree has been uprooted, right? Because you've severed the connection. You've severed the connecting point of the Seichel. That's where you connect with Hashem. The Kasher, you know, oh, yeah, fine. V'hu unitiyosav b'shamayim. For man is a tree, and he's planted in heaven. His head is the place of his roots, and his head is planted in heaven. That's where he connects with the Rabbon Shalom. Ki haroshu ha-shoresh shel ha-adam pone lemala. It faces upward. Your head faces upward. V'zeh ki nikro adam eitz ha-sadeh natua v'shamayim. Man is called the tree of the field because he is planted in heaven. V'yidei ha-seichu natua b'mekomo asher yim kol ha-ruchos bolus v'noshros bo ein mezizin oso mimkomo. Person maintains that connection. He really caught. No one can move him. Kasher holecha adam achra shikrus v'sichlo ne'evad. But if a person becomes preoccupied with getting stewed all the time, his seichel is lost. Then he goes into golos because his roots are gone. So now the tree is carried away with any wind. Azu gola v'zeh sharam za'atorah bi'amitas l'shon of a yiskal. Because the l'shon of a yiskal shu l'shon golos. So begin to see now that this deficiency of the tree, right, that the tree doesn't produce fruits, or doesn't produce, is not a tree whose the taste of whose fruits are found in the tree, is really called, man himself is called a tree. Man himself is called a tree.
Okay. And he's not producing fruits?
He produces fruits, but there's no taste, right? In this world, there's no taste in the tree like the fruits. There's no taste in the world, in this world, as of yet, until it reaches the ultimate perfection and the fulfillment of Hashem's commandment that the tree should taste like the fruits. The tree should taste like the fruits. In this world, there is no taste of the fruits in the tree. Okay? Pasuk says in Yishayahu, it says, Imru tzadik hitov, say to the tzadik hitov, right, if he maintains his goodness, ki pri malaleim yochelu. The tzaddik, what he calls, they eat the fruit of their deeds. A person's deeds, right? A person's growth, the tree, as it were, absorbs the nutrients. The tree absorbs all of the, what do you call it, of the water, all the things to make things, as it were, to make it produce. The ultimate product is the fruit. The fruit is sweet. The tree is doing the work. But the fruit is sweet, right? The reward of the tzaddikim is the fruits. And when they eat of those fruits, they will taste the sweetness. But in this world, you don't eat of the fruits. You don't eat of the fruits in this world. Certain select mitzvahs, you can taste of them, etc. But the fruits are the person's reward. But the tree itself that's producing the fruits, there's no taste in the tree. So there's there's no taste in the avoda of the Adam, who is also called a tree. He's in the same pattern as the tree, yeah, the initial trees of creation. That is, it were, the earth didn't produce trees that tasted like the fruit. Adam is born into that atmosphere, he's born into that ecosystem, he's born into that environment, that's the ambience within which he grows. He's a tree. Ki Adam eats asada, says the Maharal. But his, what do you call it, but his fruits are tasty. But you don't taste of the fruits here. All you're involved in over here is the growth of the tree. You're the tree. You got to make a sada. And the tree doesn't have the taste of the fruits.
Why?
Because that's the way trees were produced here. Trees, pretty cool. That's the world. That's the world is deficient. So man is no better than the tree of the field. He is like the tree of the field. The tree of the field, again, we're talking about the world is going to unfold in two stages. The initial stage is where the world of avoda, there's no taste in the avoda. And that's what the Gemara in Sota says. What are the fruits of a person? His mitzvos. His mitzvos, he does them. So all the effort, all the struggle is in the tree. It comes to fruition. No pun intended, maybe yes, right? In the fruits, which are the mitzvos, the fruits you don't partake of now, that's his reward, that's not for this world. This world is hayom la'asosam, here you work, in the machar, the tomorrow, after all the tomorrows are finished, right? That's when you eat of the fruits. That's why when we do mitzvos, so we can be excited about doing the mitzvos. We can be excited about doing the mitzvahs. We can do the simcha. We can do the mitzvahs. We don't taste it. You don't taste tefillin. You don't experience the reward of tefillin. The reward of tzitzis. The reward of, what do you call it, of all the good deeds, yeah, that people do. The mesiras nefesh, the acceptance of difficult situations, of everything. All that produces fruits. So the fruits, right, will be sweet in a way that we have no way of even being able to comprehend that type of sweetness, right? Because we don't have the antennae, we don't have the spiritual taste buds to be able to taste it. But the act itself, so we can be happy that we're doing the Ratzon Hashem, but we don't taste in the avoda. We don't taste the exhilaration of the taste of the fruits as we do the avoda. So that's another fundamental in creation. Right, that we talked about. We talked about first the beginning of Maaseh Bereishis, then we talked about, right, about Bereishis Bo Elokim, then after Hashem Elokim, Misadin, Misrachim. Here in the discussion of the land producing trees that produce sweet fruits, but the trees themselves don't have the taste of the fruits, we have the very foundation of Aravoda. We don't taste the sweetness The same sweetness of the mitzvah. Again, we can taste the excitement and happiness and its vacuous of our doing what we know is right, but the mitzvah itself we don't taste.
The taste is the reward, or
Taste will be in the fruits or the reward. What do you call it?
Or the pleasure.
Right. Well, pleasure again. Whatever. Again, we haven't been told on about yet. Right. But right. So, but the idea.
Pleasure doesn't necessarily mean the ultimate reward.
Shem's rotzon is to give you pleasure. Right.
We don't understand that pleasure.
Well, we downgrade pleasure. We downgrade pleasure into what do you call it, into goosebumps.
You were telling us the sign you saw.
What?
You always told us the sign you saw in the Manwick Expressway.
What? The sign? Oh, that.
No, that's not true.
Yeah, but that's pleasure for a cat.
Oh, that was pleasure for a cigarette.
Yeah, whatever. Okay.
That's okay. The extremities. That was the outside.
Right. Fine. Next.
Go up like a puff of smoke.
Okay. Okay. Now, further. It says, later on, Vayomer Elokim yihi me'oras b'rakia ha'shamayim lahavdil bin hayom u'bin halayla v'ayu l'osos l'mo'adim l'yomim v'shanim v'ayu l'me'oras b'rakia ha'shamayim la'ir ala aretz v'ayi chen. The commandment that there should be me'oros, orbs of light in the heavens. They should differentiate between heaven, night and day, etc. They should be used for seeing the divine providence. What do you call it? We will determine when the holidays will take place, days, years, etc.
Finding orbs, stars.
What?
Orbs.
No, Maoros. What we're talking here with the first we're talking here about what he called about the sun and the moon, as we'll see in just a scooch. Vayul Maoros v'rakiyah shemaim lahayir al aretz vayichein vayat alakim shneim Maoros hagdolim esam or hagdolim mishal sayom esam or katolim mishal salayil ve'eis hakochavim. So in Pasuk Tezayin it says that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the two great, Maoros. Right?
The sun and the moon.
The sun and the moon. As a Maor Gadol, then all of a sudden the next moment he says the Maor Gadol, the big one. First he's calling the big ones. And then he says, and then there's a big one and a small one. It's a big one and a small one. Right? So Maor Gadol, Mishal Sayom, is the Maor Katol, Mishal Salayla. Esa Kokavim, and the stars. So Rashi brings, Hamaoros Gadolim, Shavim Nivru. They were created equal. Created equal. When it's not our levana, as a kitrugav amra, he afshir l'shnei melachim shishtam shebekeser echad. Once again, we have one of these stories here. We can imagine the moon there, with the smiley face, Sam Gungwa sidling up to the boreal and saying, you can't have two kings using, right, the same, what do you call, the same crown, because Rebecca goes, that's it. You get it. You're finished now. Go and go make yourself smaller. What does that mean? In other words, the importance, the world, once again, we have the world in potential, and we've got the world in...
The world in potential is perfection.
Right. The world in potential is perfection, where the importance of the moon and the sun is equal. Is equal.
That's the way it was originally created.
Then we have the way that it, what do you call it, the way that it plays itself out, and that one appears to have greater power, greater kingship, as it were. It has kingship, and the other one doesn't. The sun versus the moon. Sun versus the moon. Over here, it's not like we saw before with regard to the earth, right? Right? So with regard to the earth, where the earth itself didn't produce what the commandment was. Here there's a conversation. There's a conversation. In other words, if we want to communicate, mm-hmm. Right? Let's think for a second.
Not like my wife.
If we want to communicate, the idea again. Why is the Torah telling us this? Right? Why is the Torah telling us this?
Telling us what?
It's telling us this story here. Because Rahu said two big orbs. We'll see the Gemara recounts a whole dusiyah, a whole conversation that takes place, that transpires between Gosh Baruch Hu and the moon, right? I mean, like, this is not Kinderspiel, right? This is not child's play over here. The Torah is telling us a story. It's a company that tells the same limud, right? That we learned already from the earth. We already learned about the earth not producing trees that have the same taste as the fruit. That this is not just telling us stories. It's telling us a very basic concept, right? That the eights, right? The method, the process doesn't have the same taste as the fruits in this world, because otherwise there'd be no free will, right? Do we need another story?
When Noah got drunk, did we say that he had the potential of tikkun the olam?
Yeah, maybe. What do you call it? Maybe. Let's say yes. Like the Dor HaMabul actually had the potential to be the generation that received the Torah, right? But they had very lofty souls, but they got preoccupied with pleasure, and so they went down the tubes. Okay. So what do you call? So that was, yeah. Let's not get sidetracked. If the idea of the Torah telling us, as Chazal explained to us, it had the difficulty in the pasuk. It refers first to the sun and the moon as the shnei ma'oros hagdolim, the two great lights, sources of light, etc. And then the next, right after the asnachta, right after the break in the pasuk, what does it say? It says there's a big one and a small one. That's not to stand. So the Chazal have to deal with this. And with this, they develop this entire conversation. The moon comes and says, Tashem, right? You know, you can't have two kings with one crown, right? Hashem says, you're right, and therefore go make yourself smaller, etc. So obviously we're not having a conversation here. Hashem's not talking. The smiley face on the moon, right? He's not speaking back to Hashem. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So conceptually, is this, if it's coming to tell us, let's say we already know, we have a little bit of background. We know that the Jewish people are compared to what he called to the moon. Yeah. Jewish people compared to the moon. That's why we have a lunar calendar. It's true, our lunar calendar always means in sync, right? With the solar calendar. You know, or it's readjusted when necessary, etc. But it's a lunar calendar. And we talk about the idea about the moon waxing and waning, and that's the nature of our lives, etc. We grow, but there's deficiency, right? We sink, right? But we grow, etc. So is this telling us the same idea as what we learned already from the tree and the earth not producing trees that tasted like the fruit? No, the things can't be perfect in the beginning. There has to be struggle. There's growth. There's going up. There's going down. Is it the same limud? Conceptually, is it the same? Is it the same limud? If it is, why do we need a second one?
Why not? What's the second one?
The first one is the tree, the earth with the tree with tree fruit. Yeah, system. And now we're going to come about the moon, right? The moon is reflected light. The moon is what he called is it reflects Hashem's presence in the world. The Jewish people reflect Hashem's presence in the world. It waxes and wanes. Again, is that the same limud?
So your question is, why is there an additional example?
Right. Why? What's the other limud here? There has to be something else, right? I mean, it could be that it embellishes on the first one, but there's got to be something new. So take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara Chulin says on Daf Samach Amud Beis, so Shimon Ben Pazi. Ramik Siv, Ayas, Elkim Shnei Amoros, Agadolim, Chsiv, Esamor, Agadol, Esamor, Katan. He brings down the steer and the psukim. The first part of the passage says there are two great lights. The second part of the passage says one's big, one's small. And here he recounts the entire, without going through the entire Gemara, recounts the entire discussion back and forth between the sun and the moon. Because Baruch Hu tells not the sun and the moon, between the moon and the Ribono Shelom. Right? Actually, maybe we should read it. Yeah, let's read it. What does it say? It says the two parts of psukim. First part says the two big oros, and the second part says one's big, one's small. Amr Yareach, the end of the second to the last line on page one. Amr Yareach, lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, efshar l'shnei melachim shishtamshu b'keser echad. Right? Is it possible for two kings to use one crown? Amr l'chi ma tiyas atzmeich. Go make yourself smaller, says the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm the fun of Ribono Shel Olam. Hold the marki the funecha. Dover hagun amitis. That's me. Right? Because I said something that was correct. That's the reason why I should really go make myself smaller. Amalah lechiyum shol biyomu b'layla. Don't feel bad. You can appear both in day and night. Right? The moon you can see during the day, and you can see at night. And the body caught him in the sun, you can only see the recall during the day. Amalei, my Rabu said, Shragatira, my Mahani. Thanks a lot, big deal. Right? So you can see me during the day. See me during the day a little bit. But how does that help? What, it's like lighting a candle in the middle of, what do you call, in the middle of daylight. What do you call, my light doesn't contribute anything. You can see me, but I don't do anything. I'm not a spia. I don't affect. Amalei, Zil Limnubach, Israel, Yomim, Mishonim. Right? The Jewish people are going to use you, right? To for their calendar. Amalei, Yomanami. I have no mile over there with the sun also. You have to count the days in the sun in order to be able to figure out. Yeah, it would be with the seasons to figure out the tkufos, right? When summer begins, when we call, and then in the end, the months have to be in sync according to that. You have to have Nisan, it has to be in the spring. So we call, so the sun has got a big effect over there also. So where am I miyuchad? Where am I special? Don't worry, Hashem says, but he called the tzaddikim are going to be called. You're just like you're called the Mu'arakot on the small light, so too the tzaddikim are called by your, with that name. Yaakov Akaton, Shmuel Akaton, David Akaton. They're all called little, very called, because they're small over here, but they're
David
making
the,
David is called the Akaton, and same for Shmuel, he's referred to Akaton, the little one. Yaakov Ibn Akaton, Shmuel, what do you call it, Akaton. Chazilo Meisvadaita. So Hashem saw that the moon was not appeased. Wasn't appeased. It still wasn't happy after all this story. Amar Kosh Brochle, Hivio Kapora Alai. So bring a korban. Bring a kapora. Bring a cleansing agent. I.e. a korban. And for me, says Hashem. Al Shemiyata Tiyas Areach, because I made the Areach small.
The smell?
No. Kapora. What do you call it? Like a korban creates a kapara.
You're right.
It cleanses a person.
Hashem told the moon to bring a
kapara. No, but he told me to go. He said, in the world will be brought a korban. That's the Seir Rosh Chodesh. The korban on Rosh Chodesh. That's brought, the goat. Yeah? Is a chatas that's meant to cleanse away what appears on the surface over here. The sin. That's what appears, the sin. That Hashem made the moon small. And that's going to appease the moon. Behind it, Amr of Shimon Lakish. Manashtan is Seir Shabash Chodesh and Yamabo Lahashem. Why is it called Lahashem? Amr Koshboko Seir Zeye Kapara al Shimiatat Yezereach. So Gur Aryeh, we won't read the whole thing inside, it's very long. Gur Aryeh says in Sefer Bamidbar, he speaks here in Brachos, but he speaks at greater length in Sefer Bamidbar, in writing Parshas Pinchas. He talks about the idea. Don't think there's a sin here. Hashem never has deficiency. But remember how we started off with that the
idiot. Don't think there's a sin
on the part of Hashem. First of all, what does it mean? Hashem.
Why did he reduce the moon?
Yeah, it sounds like he did a sin. He said, bring the korban. Bring korban for me. Hashem does a sin. Hashem needs, what he called, to regain favor in what he called, in whose eyes? We bring the korban because we sin. The korban restores us in the favor of the eyes of the Creator. And the Creator, can the Creator sin? And does the Creator need to, as it were, establish favor in the eyes of whom? Himself.
So he's saying, why does Hashem tell the moon to bring a korban?
No, not the moon. He's telling us, we're going to bring over. Every Rosh Chodesh, we brought a korban. And that korban, the Gemara's Medayik, is for Hashem. Because he lessened the moon. So what does it mean, says the Gurayeh? What does it mean? He says, like we started off, remember, before we mentioned the idea, that the idea of chait doesn't mean sin necessarily. The idea of chait means deficiency. It means deficiency. And korban is not an appeasement you give a, like in the world of the idolaters. A sacrifice, right, is I give something away of mine to him, right? Mm-hmm. This way he feels more chashuv. Because I've shown I'm a zero, right? I give it to him, I sacrifice to him, and then he gives me what I want. But in Yahadus is a korban. The act of the korban brings me closer to him, right? And that removes the deficiency, the chait, like we said, chait doesn't have to be sin. Chait is what he called it, is the deficiency. Is off the mark. There's something that's not aligned properly over here. Korban bringing something close to Hashem realigns the what do you call it, the gap that I've created when a person does through his sin. The issue over here is not that Hashem sinned. The issue over here is that the what do you call it, is that the moon, which is the symbol of the Jewish people, right? The reflected light of glory, even in the darkness of an unclear world,
mm-hmm.
right? The world is like the gullus, like Chazal say, is like Lila, is like night, and the moon brings that light over there. The deficiency over there is that the moon feels cheated. The moon is looking at the half empty cup, right? The half empty cup.
So what are you saying? The moon is like the Jewish people. Does the moon feel like cheating? Jewish people feel cheated?
Yeah, I'm saying, what do you call it? We're talking here, this concept over here is meant to rectify an unhealthy attitude towards looking at the world. You can have the moon for sure.
Well, that was his whole complaint, was it?
Right, right. The moon, right, you have to realize, right, Bidyuk, in other words, the moon certainly was downgraded. That's an act that's negative. In the big picture of things, it's absolutely necessary. It's absolutely necessary. But the moon perceives it as a negative act, because it's only looking at its unique experience.
That's
its very, individual.
That's very human.
But you, okay.
The moon is
again, we're using the moon as a symbol here, right? The moon doesn't have feelings, right? We're using it as a symbol over here of what do you call it, of man's attitude. Instead of realizing the entire creation is a gift, Hashem owes nothing to us. And creation itself is perfect. And He's put us on a ticket to eternity. There are moments, I'm not saying any of this is easy, right? So, you know, don't accuse me of being hypocritical. Because I don't know that I have the capacity, and what do you call it, to withstand the tests of life, etc. But the fact is that we look at something from our very parochial, very narrow, very, what do you call it, egocentric point of view. To me, this is deficiency. Hashem says at the beginning of the month, when the light of the moon begins to grow, that's when you bring the korban. It's brought in Rosh Chodesh, when the moon is beginning its growth cycle. Its growth cycle. That's when you bring the korban. That's when you bring the thing that brings you closer to Hashem, and that eliminates the deficiency, right, that you perceived before. The deficiency that you see before is rectified, because now your focus is on the giving of Hashem. The giving of Hashem. The giving of Hashem. The fact that He's bestowing light, and our light is growing and growing and growing. This is the attitudinal, right, limud from this record, from this story. Our attitudes, right, we don't look at the big picture and know that it's all perfect. And we don't look at the fact that Hashem owes us nothing, right, and that it's all good. We look at our own parochial, again, I'm not saying any of this is easy, yeah? We look at our own parochial, narrow view of things, and we see deficiency. How do we get rid of that? It is a deficiency, there's no getting around it. The moon started off bigger and it got less, right? It lost its importance, right? The way to get over it is that when you focus on what Hashem is giving you, that's your korban, that is makar of you, and that removes the deficiency. In other words, in this lesson is, there isn't an answer to all the questions of why is this suffering taking place, why is this deficiency over here. The big picture, we know it's all good, but our tendency is to look at it from our unique slant, our unique, view of things, etc. How do we avoid looking at the half-empty cup? By focusing on the good that Hashem does bestow upon us. We bring a korban at the beginning of the Chodesh, when the moon begins to grow, mm-hmm. and the light begins to increase.
Mm-hmm.
So in these two halakim, yeah? The story of the earth with the trees and the fruit, and the story of the moon and the sun, right? In the discussion with the Borei Olam, where the two fundamentals of how man has to view and live life.
And when we see the bracha hamaros in the morning,
Yotzei hamaoros,
what are we focusing on in that bracha?
Well, the fact is that we call there, the truth is, I mean, Akash Baruch Hu created the maoros.
Yeah.
Right, created the maoros.
But if that bracha refers to the moon and the sun, or all?
Oh, so that's pretty cool. That's a very interesting thing. It starts off with Yotzer or Uvorek Koshech. Oseh Shalom Uvorek Sakol. The Pasuk says, Yotzer or Uvorek Koshech.
Pasuk in Bereishis?
Pasuk in, no, it's not in Bereishis, in Yishayahu. Mm-hmm. Right, called Yotzer or Uvorek Koshech, right? Oseh Ra Uvorekol. Ra. In other words, the idea is that you need deficiency. Ra is deficiency. You need it there. Otherwise, there's no room for growth. We don't want to put that into the bracha. They changed it in the bracha, but the pasuk says that. Because Ruch is Yotzer or Uvorei Choshech. Yotzer, when you think about it,
he goes for his light.
Yeah, time out. In creation, in the way, in spiritual emanations, the word they have, yeah, what they call the world of Atzilus, of emanations. Right. Then there's the world of Bria, right? Bria is the raw beginnings of creation. The raw beginnings of Yetzira is after that, is where things begin to take form. And Asiya is in their final state. Final state. Look what it says. It says first, Yotzer Or, that's Yetzira, right? In other words, the more perfected, right? Not raw state, is Yetzira, it's Or. Uvorei Choshech. But Bria, the earlier state, is Choshech. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu started the very act of creation itself is darkness compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's all light. He's all clarity. He's all perfection. Creation itself is what he called is a backdrop, is a canvas of darkness. The goal is to reveal the light, right, within the darkness. Ra, the potential for Ra, has to be there in order for us, what he calls, to reach perfection, right? To reach Hakol, to reach, what he calls, to reach everything. So that's where the bracha starts off with. Yotzer or Uvore Choshech, Oseh Shalom, harmony, Uvore Hakol, everything is from him. And then what he calls, the bracha ends with what? Or Chadash Al Tzion Ta'ir. All of a sudden it starts talking about a new light will appear over Tzion. And we should all zocha to see this great light. It's not talking about the sun and the moon and what it's called. Now it's talking about the light of Mashiach coming. Because that's really the way, that is the evolution of the world. Right? We start off with a world where darkness is the backdrop. Points of light come within it. Our job description is to reveal that light, and that will ultimately lead to the Or Chadash Al Tzion Ta'ir. Right, the new light, the light of complete spiritual clarity, where there's no longer the physical world and the spiritual world seem not to be in sync with one another. Right, that we're waiting. We're talking about Baruch Hashem Yotzei Me'oros. That's the conclusion. That's the conclusion of the bracha. So it's very much related to this discussion. Have a good Shabbos.
Cool.
Should be a good winter. Good winter. Everybody should have a full shlema. Every we call our learning together here and all the clarity, Be'ez Hashem, that hopefully we recall each person. Yeah, it was open to. I certainly understood things much better now than I did before I walked in. Right? Should be a merit for a full shlema, right, here in this house.
Amen.
Right? For Moshe Avram Ben Chaya Bill.
Amen. What do you see there?